Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for a new one popping up over there tomorrow sometime. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, come on, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. Well, I guess we might as well jump on the bandwagon with the rest of the sports world. Even though I think we both picked the game correctly, you can't help but figure, boy, man, the Saints got screwed, didn't they?
Yeah, but I thought Goodell had the power to reverse it and make them play again.
He does. He actually does. I don't think he can make them play again. I think they pick up right from that point, but that, I don't think that's ever happened. It's not going to happen this time. Humorously, the Saints season ticket holders have banded together, and they're going to sue Goodell. So it'll be interesting, because by the time you figure this case gets to court, Drew Brees is going to be retired. You know, so maybe in 2025 they have to get everybody back together and play again. And then they take the Super Bowl win away from whoever wins it in a couple of weeks. Is that how that works?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I must have missed where what took them to overtime. What penalty was
when you did what? Hmm.
No, I said I missed.
No, but
penalty.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a penalty. That was the problem with it. If it would have been a penalty, we wouldn't be having this conversation, and the Saints would be in the Super Bowl. So, you know, that's kind of how it worked out. But yeah, it, you know, sadly, it's just one of those things. You know, I mean, I'm guessing the ref must have had money on the Rams, and he needed to figure out a way to get them back in the game. So the no call with the field goal, and then the Rams tie it up. So, you know, it sucks for Saints fans. You know, I mean, I would be going ape crazy too if it had happened to the Seahawks. You know, so it's just one of those things. And I did find it interesting. I don't know if this happened on your Facebook feed, but I checked it Monday when I got home. I missed the end of the AFC championship game because they just started the damn thing too late, and I couldn't stay up till the end of it because I had to, you know, be at work at 3 o'clock in the morning. So when I checked it, I checked my Facebook feed at work. I mean, I already knew that New England had won. I can't figure out why everybody I'm friends with hates the Patriots. Is it just because they win?
I think so. I mean, I don't
know. You know, because yeah, I just kind of chuckled with all the New England hatred and, you know, well, they must have cheated. Well, no, I mean, you know, even when they cheated, I'm not exactly sure that they really did cheat or did anything different than any other team actually does. You know, it's just they had to do something because they were the Patriots. So I'm just kind of baffled by it. I mean, you know, and most of my friends are local. I mean, I'm sorry the Bears choked in the playoffs and, you know, Cody Parkey missed a kick and, the, you know, they didn't get a chance to move on. But why the hell are you taking it out on New England for being good? I mean, especially this year, I mean, they were looked at as, you know, it being over. They weren't supposed to be here. You know, they were done. Tom Brady was old, and, you know, he didn't go to, oh, God forbid, he didn't go to OTAs, and, you know, there was supposed to be all this infighting, and all of a sudden they're in the Super Bowl. So, you know, does that mean they're supposed to be hated?
Oh, yeah, they're supposed to be hated big time.
You know, and they overcame another terrible referee call. I don't think Julian Edelman ever touched that football, but, you know, I mean, the refs, bad weekend for refereeing.
Well, no, it just doesn't make sense to me with all the technology we have, why they don't have an official booth just ready to go.
So, yeah, it's that's a question a lot of people have been asking lately, you know. But we'll see if they, you know, they make a rule change and make pass interference reviewable now, you know, now that this happened. So it will be interesting, but, you know, it always sucks to see a team lose like that, even if it's a team you don't like. I mean, I know if it was, you know, if it happened to the Packers or something, they would all be jumping up and down in here in Chicago. But, you know, I mean, it's still – anytime the refs have too much to do with the outcome of the game, it's not a good thing.
No, I mean, I can definitely agree with that one. I'm not a Patriots hater, but I was mad the Chiefs didn't win.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, luckily I got both games right this week. Did you split yours?
Yeah.
You know, and I think Stu split his, and believe it or not, Mr. Fantasy actually got a game right. So, you know, the losing streak is over. He's now 1-9 for the playoffs. Going into the Super Bowl, so we'll see how that works out tomorrow. But all right, Dan. Well, I have some semi-breaking news that I don't know if you have looked at yet. But we have 4 new members to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Have you seen this yet?
No, I deleted the email. I forgot to really look at it.
I'll see. All right. Well, we have Mariano Rivera got in. Not only did he get in, Dan, the first guy ever to be named on 100% of the ballots. So there you go. Finally, it happens. Then we have Roy Halladay gets in on his first year. Edgar Martinez makes it in his last year. And Mike Mussina finally gets in. So there are your 4 guys. Curt Schilling was the next closest at 60.9%. Fred McGriff doesn't make it in his last year on the ballot, so he goes bye-bye. Yeah, so there you go. You okay with those 4 guys?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. How about you?
You know, I still don't buy Mussina as a Hall of Famer. You know, he's one of those guys who falls into that category for me. He was a very good pitcher, but I don't think he was great. I don't think he's Hall of Fame worthy. I mean, yeah, sure, he was very good, but I just don't buy it. You know, that. Well, maybe you can answer me this, Dan. For 9 years, Edgar Martinez wasn't a Hall of Famer. Why is he in his 10th year?
Because they don't like any of the steroid guys.
Well, you know, the steroid guys are actually doing better. Both Bonds and Clemens got over 59% this year. You know, they'll have 3 more years to get in. So we'll see how that works out. You know, there are 2 more guys who should never be in the Hall of Fame, but... You know, there are a lot of stupid voters out there who, you know, for some reason believe that there's already PED guys in the Hall of Fame, even though I don't know if any of them were named anywhere. So You know, just one of those things. I mean, obviously the four guys going in this year weren't, mostly because three of them were pitchers. But then again, that didn't stop Clemens from using. And I hate when they use the term alleged with Clemens, because his trainer proved that he used, even though he wasn't convicted. The guy proved that he used. So it's not alleged that Roger Clemens used steroids. He didn't use steroids. He never admitted to it. You damn well know Barry Bonds used something, because his trainer went to jail to protect him. So, yeah, I'm not, you know, not buying any of those stories. Sorry, you know, I may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. Oh, where's the drummer? Damn it. Oh, so. But, hey, Sammy Sosa got 8.5 of the 5% of the vote, Dan. 36 people voted for him.
You know, and at one point, baseball was very, very good to him.
Yeah, it was. And then I'm still sad that Gary Sheffield only gets 13.6% of the vote, and Scott Rowland actually got more than him. And you can't tell me Rowland was a better player than Sheffield. Maybe defensively, but, you know, other than that, you're not taking Rowland over Sheffield in any other category. So I don't want to hear that. But yeah, you know, I heard an interesting argument for McGriff, and I'm wondering if you buy this. You know, he only got 39.8% of the vote this year, so he goes away after 10 years on. Now, he has a pretty interesting Hall of Fame resume. You know, he's got, what I see, it's 400. I want to double check it, but I think it's 493 career homers. You know, yeah, he's a five-time All-Star. He won a World Series, three Silver Sluggers, and actually won an All-Star Game MVP is what it looks like here. But, yeah, he's got 493 homers. He's a career 284 hitter. I heard somebody say that they think it might hurt him because he was never in one place for a long time. While he did play 19 seasons, he never spent more than 5 years with a team. So there's really not a team behind Fred McGriff, you know, not pushing him to get him into the Hall of Fame. Are you in that category that if he may have played 10 or 12 years with one team, that he may have had some at least backing?
No, you know, that's one of the ones I don't understand. I mean, we've always talked about how the guy who jumps around is not going to make it because of the voters, but it's the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's not, you know, the Cubs Hall of Fame or the Rangers or Padres. It's the collective Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, because, yeah, it's interesting with his career, and I know Major League Baseball picked which team to go into the Hall of Fame as. He spent 5 years each with Tampa Bay, Atlanta, and Toronto. Do you wonder if he went in, who they would have picked for him? You know, and I got a feeling he gets in with the Veterans Committee. You know, he looked like the kind of guy that they would put in. You know, I know 500 home runs is the magical mark, and he hung around a couple of years to try to get there and just didn't make it. But, you know, yeah, it's just a strange case. I mean, do you buy any of that validity that he didn't have the backing?
No, I mean, I don't know. I think if you were in baseball at that time, you knew about him.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, there are a lot of new guys kind of floating into the voting. You know, you wonder if maybe they just don't know about Fred McGriff. I mean, I guess that's possible, right?
Yeah, that's highly likable.
So, yeah, I just don't know. You know, if, you know, but like I said, I'm sure once the Veterans Committee gets a hold of his resume, he'll be you know, he'll find his way in. We'll see how that goes. But I wanna pull up Mussina here because he's got some. You know, he does have some interesting stats. Mussina does. Like he's 270 and 53 lifetime in 136 career start. But, you know, a lot of my problem with it is he collected a lot of those wins with really good Yankee teams, even though his ERA was always a little bit high. You know, like the best ERA he posted was 3.15 the first year he was with the Yankees. But, you know, like he's got 3 years where it was 4.41 was the best he could do. You know, I mean, he did win 7 gold gloves, so he could field his position. And he made 5 all-star teams. But, you know, I mean, you know, he never won a Cy Young, only won 20 games in his career once. You know, yeah, I just don't know. I mean, yeah, he's got a fantastic winning percentage, and I heard them start throwing out sabermetric stats, so I turned it off when they were talking about him. You know, and I mean, you know, longevity, he pitched 18 years in the game. But again, I don't know if, you know, his stats were built up because he was on some really good Yankee teams. And, you know, even when he pitched in Baltimore, they were still a good team before they flopped here recently. So, you know, again, I think he was a very good pitcher that was just in the right situation and ended up piling up a lot of win totals. But I just don't know if he's a Hall of Fame guy. I mean, he only pitched for the Orioles and the Yankees in his career, and, you know, they were both really, for the majority of the time he was there, they were both really good teams. So, yeah, I just don't know if I buy him as a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit there. What'd you do? Well, I think that's more Kurt Schilling's resume on why they're trying to, you know, why they're trying to get him in the Hall of Fame, because he was a great postseason pitcher. Let me see what in the postseason, Mussina was actually 7-8. So he had a losing record, but he had a solid ERA at 3.42. So, you know, just one of those things.
I mean, he wasn't a lot of postseason games.
Yeah, well, but, you know, there were 11 guys who managed not to get a vote at all. Dan, we had a Rick Ankiel, Jason Bay, Freddie Garcia, John Garland, Travis Hafner. I find it hard to believe that Ted Lilly couldn't get one vote. Derek Lowe, Darren Oliver, Juan Pierre, Vernon Wells, and Kevin Youkilis. Now, the thing I find interesting about this, Dan, is none of those guys could get votes, but somehow Placido Polanco got 2. So
he made friends with 2 reporters.
Yeah, I guess. You know, well, I thought Juan Pierre was pretty well liked. So, but yeah, they don't have the ballots released yet, so I don't know who voted for Placido Polanco. But there were 2 guys who found him Hall of Fame worthy, which is kind of interesting. So we'll have to see. I gotta pull up the stats here, Dan, because I'm interested now. Well, he was a .297 career hitter over 16 seasons. So 104 career home runs, 723 RBI, did steal 81 bases.
He's
a two-time All-Star. Yeah, 2-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove winner, won a Silver Slugger, and was the ALCS MVP.
Yeah,
But yeah, he well, no, he only played for four games. No, it doesn't say what year did he win the ALCS MVP. That's what I'm interested in. 2006, he was the ALCS MVP while he was with Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah, so there you are. But, yeah, played in 38 postseason games, hit .248. So, yeah, I guess that gets you two Hall of Fame.
I'm surprised Euclid didn't get more.
Yeah, you'd have thought one of the, you know, he played for the Red Sox and the Yankees. So you think somewhere down the line one of those guys would have got him on the ballot. You know, I mean, I actually think Juan Pierre has the stats to get at least one vote. You know, I mean, I get that it's, you know, he's probably not a Hall of Famer, but, you know, I think he is top five in career stolen bases. You know, yeah, here, you know, Juan played 14 years, Dan. He had .295, stole 614 bases. Actually led the league on three different occasions. You know, I thought he won a batting title once, but I guess not, huh? So, yeah, you'd think he would have, you know, well, of course, Sabermetrics doesn't like stolen bases, so that kind of checked Juan out. But, you know, another guy who bounced around.
Yeah, I was
played for seven. So, yeah, seven different teams, but both Chicago teams. Actually stole 68 bases with the White Sox in 2010.
Well, and it's interesting that from 2003 to 2007, he played every day.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was definitely one of the guys that played. I mean, you know, he led the league in hits a couple times. You know, so, yeah, you would think, I mean, you know, he's got a resume to get at least one vote, but I guess not. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame, but I would have thought that he would have got a vote. You know, he never cheated the game like Bonds or Clemens did. You know, you think you could have thrown one his way because of that, but, yeah, you know, what the hell.
Fanny was in a Jay-Z song.
Oh, was he?
Well, I mean, not personally, but. You know, Jay-Z used to steal bases like Juan Pierre.
Oh. All right. Well, we did have a little movement while things were going on. The Yankees finally found a new home for Sonny Gray. He's going to Cincinnati. And I believe he signed he got a three-year, $30.5 million extension. Now, you know, originally it was reported as just a two-team deal, but now apparently it ended up being a three-team deal. It's, what is it, Sonny Gray went to Cincinnati, and then Shed Long in a competitive balance pick went from the Reds to the Yankees. And then left-handed reliever Bradler San Martin was also in the deal. He's going from the Yankees to the Reds. And then as soon as the Reds got Long, they flipped him to the Mariners in return for Josh Stowers and a second-round pick. So, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, pretty much. You like this for the Reds? I mean, that gives them three now veterans in the rotation. You know, they got Alex Wood, Tanner Roark, and now Sonny Gray to pair up with two of their young guys. I would guess Luis Castillo and whoever's the best out of the rest. Are you buying the Reds going in the right direction finally?
I see they're kind of going in the right direction. It's just the funny great pitch the entire season for the next 3 years.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, you figure he's out of New York. That's probably going to help him. So. You know, I would be interested to know where they'll slot him in the rotation, if he'll be, you know, if they're planning on him their number one, or if they're going to go with Alex Wood there. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see how that, you know, how that actually goes. But, you know, I mean, I guess they, you know, they had some good luck kind of getting Matt Harvey back on track in Cincinnati. So maybe, you know, maybe Gray can return to form, so to speak.
I mean, Taylor, I feel like his form is good and then he gets hurt. And that's just been his career.
Well, you know, he was pretty healthy last year. He did appear in 30 games, made 23 starts after every year he's actually only made 30 starts in 2 years. Last year, like I said, he appeared in 30 games. So since he got demoted to the bullpen, I guess that kind of counts. So yeah, health will definitely be an issue. You know, we'll just see. I mean, he hasn't pitched 200 innings since 2015, and you know the Reds are definitely going to need that out of him.
Yeah, I mean, if he can get down to, you know, compared to last year at 4.5 or almost a 5 ERA, he can get it down to his, you know, career average of 3.66. I think he'll do pretty well for them.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess the question is: Is Cincinnati good enough now to get out of the cellar in the NL Central?
I mean, I think them and the Pirates might share split it.
So yeah, you know, it could be interesting. I mean, they finally look like they're headed in the right direction. I mean, they learned that, you know, you can't really draft pitching. You know, I mean, here and there, obviously you can draft it, but, you know, you really need to draft hitting, and buy pitching is the key to these things. So, you know, we'll see how it works out. But we did have a couple other signings. Asdrubal Cabrera found himself a job. They're reporting he got a 1-year deal with the Rangers. Looks like it's $3.5 million, so they got him on pretty low money for a guy who had a pretty big year last year. He hit .262, put up 23 home runs, and drove in 75 RBIs. That's the 23 is his second highest total. He hit 25 back in 2011. You know, and he can play all the infield positions, Dan. I mean, second, short, third. You know, I'm sure he could probably play first if you bounced him around there, but not a bad sign for the Rangers, right? Or you don't like it?
No, I don't. It's all right.
You know, I mean, I guess, you know, it's Texas, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, they do need somebody to replace Adrian Beltre at third base. Do you think that's where he lands?
He could play a little bit of third base. I don't see why not.
Because I'm trying to, they had I think it was a journeyman. I thought they were going with, I want to say his last name was Wisdom, Patrick Wisdom, that they got from the Cardinals, I thought was the guy they had penciled in there. And you would have to think that Cabrera's an upgrade there, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's been a solid player over the last thing, like, forever. So I think it's a good signing. I just, you know, with Rangers, you know, it's going to be tough in the West.
Yeah, well, yeah, roster resource does have it plugged in as the everyday third baseman. So we'll have to see if they're correct. And did they bump Pat Wisdom back to AAA? Yes. So there he goes. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's not like the signing is going to, you know, win the Rangers a playoff spot or anything, but at least it makes them better. Or you don't think it makes them better?
Yeah. I mean, give me their lineup.
So, well, you know, their everyday lineup isn't bad. You know, they got the way it's set up on roster resource, Senshu Chu DHs, Rognar Dor at second, Elvis Andrews at short, Nomar Mazara in right, Joey Gallo in left, Cabrera at third, Ronald Guzman at first, Isaiah Kiner Falafel is the catcher, and Delino DeShields Jr. is the center fielder. So, yeah, it's not a bad everyday lineup. The pitching staff is frightening, though. They set up as Mike Minor, Lance Lynn, Drew Smiley, Edison Volquez, and Shelby Miller as the starting five. So I don't think you want to go to war with that, do you? I mean, I know Minor finished out pretty strong last year, but he's another guy who's been injury-prone all over the place. So I don't know if I'm buying that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's,
so,
I think, where it's like,
you know, not a terrible
episode,
right?
No, but, you know, again, is it a great, does it help them out? Maybe it will, but, you know, when you throw out that pitching rotation, it doesn't give you a whole lot of hope.
Yeah, you know, I definitely a you know, I mean, I you know, I like the move. I mean, it's a good signing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, it's only for 1 year. Maybe come trade deadline, another veteran. You know, a team comes calling for a veteran utility guy, and you know, they get to you know, they get to move him for something useful.
Well, you know what it does tell me.
What?
That's where you say what? Oh, okay. That they're not the mystery team in the Manny Machado sweepstakes.
There you go. So they're not. Okay, so Texas, check Texas off the list of mystery teams. So rent them off. So. Oh, but we also had another signing. The Braves finally decided, it looks like, who's going to be their right fielder next year. And they're going to bring back Nick Markakis to do the job again. It looks like it's 1 year, $6 million, $4 million in salary, and a $2 million buyout and an option for next year. You know, Markakis had one of the best years of his career last year with the Braves, played in every game, hit .297 with 14 home runs and 93 RBI. You like the idea of bringing Nick back? I mean, he was an all-star, won a silver slugger, and a gold glove. You in on rolling him back in there and just kind of going with it?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely, you know, I think it's a good move for them. And that has been also not a mystery team for them.
Well, that would make them not the mystery team for Bryce Harper, right? Because they got an outfielder. So, but you know, they
I mean,
get on Machado because Dansby Swanson is their shortstop, right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I mean, I forget who said that they're waiting until Machado gets signed to ink a deal. But I think
Mike
it's high tide. Yeah, that these guys and these other teams start making the moves that they need to fill their teams up. I mean, even though
yeah, well,
the running.
You know, humorously, with Moustakas deciding to wait, he may have cost himself a job with the Rangers because obviously they needed a full-time third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like Cabrera will fill that role now, so, you know, you scratch that off. You know, especially since they're not contenders, they probably wouldn't sign another guy. But, yeah, I guess the question, Daniel, Markakis being 35, can you repeat the success again he had last year? You know, that's a pretty good year.
Well, you've got to imagine that maybe it'll get a little harder. The stress might be on. But then again, if he just goes out there and plays ball, I think he can replicate last season, or at least get close to it.
Yeah, it will be interesting. You know, he's one of those odd guys that if he can continue to find jobs and play full time, like right now he's got 2,237 hits. He may be one of those guys who ends up really close or just at 3,000 when it's all said and done. So it could be a very strange Nick Markakis Hall of Fame candidate if all those hits. You know, the tough part now in, you know, today's game, they're shying away from these guys now. So I don't know if he'll be able to hang around long enough to get the, what's he need, 753. You figure he's got to play, what, 4 more years?
Yeah.
3 or 4 more years after this. So I don't know if he'll stick around that long, but it could be interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, that's something funny you bring up because I don't know if you logged in to the press box for Major League Baseball and, you know, checking out stuff, but I was looking at the winter meeting guide that, you know, the press has given. And towards the end of it, they have all the records, you know, home run, batting, pretty much the lifetime records. And the one thing I found very interesting is that when you're going through all these records, there's only about 5 to 6 active players that are in these categories that I can actually get close to and break anything. And the way the game is played today, whether it's on the pitching side or the hitting side, anyone who started this game in 2010, I don't think we'll ever have a shot of breaking any record in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, well, you got to figure with the way pitching is handled, we'll never see a starter win 300 games again, will we?
No.
Well, you know, I mean, I think.
But I feel like Nolan Ryan will be our Cy Young, if you know what I mean. Like, but I mean, think about it, because he obviously Cy Young's 500 plus wins or whatever it was pretty unattainable. The records that Nolan Ryan recorded will never be touched.
Yeah, you know, just looking at it here for wins leaders, Bartolo Colon is actually the active wins leader right now, even though he's unsigned. He's got 247. We know CeCe's going to go by him because CeCe's got a job. He's got 246. Then it's Justin Verlander at 204. Then it drops to Zach Greinke at 187, and John Lester rounds out the top five at 177. These guys, Bartolo's 45, Sabathia's 37, Verlander's 34, and we're 35, and Greinke and Lester are 34. None of those guys are getting to 300, right? Verlander's not getting 94 wins before he retires.
No, it would be amazing, but no.
You know, and you know, I think if CeCe was healthy, he might have a shot if he could pitch till 40 and he was healthy. But, you know, he's just been so injured lately that I don't think, you know, I'm guessing this is probably his last year.
Yeah, you would think so. But, you know, the other part of it is the only way that they could reach these goals or these records, but then you'd have to start a whole new record system, is to drop the qualification for wins down to 4 1/3 inches.
Yeah, it's, you know, well, you know, like guys like this, you know, the Verlanders and, you know, Greinke, Lester, those guys, you know, at least they get the, you know, they're left in the game. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you go down this list a little bit and, you know, there's just nobody going to be around long enough to, you know, to pick this up, so... You know, I mean, I think the youngest guy here, Rick Porcello's 29. He has 135 wins. And Madison Bumgarner's 28, and he has 110 wins. You know, even if they both pitch till they're 35, you know, 6 and 7 more seasons, they're not just going to get them. You know, like you said, especially with the way things are handled today.
And I just thought that was one of the things that kind of sucked when I was looking at these records, because, and obviously anyone who's, you know, pretty much the Cubs roster aside from Rizzo and Hayward aren't going to be in any kind of record-breaking form yet, so they haven't been around long enough. But even in that, you know, in 10 years, is Chris Bryant really going to be on that mark, or Rizzo, or even Schwarber? Thing is, they, you know, aren't guaranteed the full 600 bats a season anymore. Seen that with Juan Pierre. He played 162 games with the Cubs and got 599 at-bats. Nobody plays 162 games anymore.
No, Nick Markakis did last year, surprisingly. I was surprised to see that when I looked up his stats. So, but yeah, those guys are few and far between now with the way, you know, with the way things are handled. But, you know, that's, another issue with sabermetrics. You know, just kind of what we have to deal with, right?
Yeah.
So. But we'll see. So yeah, just kind of disappointing. That's kind of depressing now that you brought that up. That, you know, we'll never, you know, never see any of these things. So, no, thanks for that. I appreciate it. So now, you know, I was a little excited yesterday when, you know, I heard the big NBA trade, but then that also got disappointing very fast. You know, the Bulls, of all teams, decided to acquire Carmelo Anthony, but then it was reported that he will never play a game for them. They're just going to release him. How disappointed were you? Because you're a Carmelo guy.
I mean, disappointed. Why not even just let him play? You're already wasting money sitting Jabari Parker, so what's the difference?
Well, you know, the weird thing, like I was thinking of this earlier, you know, with the way Carmelo has struggled, the one thing the Bulls want to do is lose. Wouldn't he be the perfect guy to help them do that at this point in his career?
Yeah, well, you know, the biggest thing everyone always talks about is how he doesn't pass the ball. And his shot hasn't really been on over the last couple of years. So.
So, you know, I mean, I guess the thing for it was, you know, is this new coach really stresses defense. And, you know, that's apparently one of the reasons why Jabari Parker doesn't play is because he just doesn't play defense. you know, maybe they just wouldn't mix, and it's better for the Bulls not to hang on to Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, I am so lost and confused as to what the hell this team is doing.
Well, they're tanking. So here's the official trade, and even though I'm not going to be able to pronounce this guy's name, the Bulls actually traded the draft rights to Drear Dragicevic to the Rockets. They got Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony and the draft rights to John Diebler along with some cash. So that's the official trade. But yeah, you know, Anthony's sadly never going to get to be in a Bulls uniform, even though I think it would be kind of cool to see. You see anybody taking a shot with him when he hits free agency here? Does he go with LeBron and the Lakers?
Why not? I mean, do they just pick him up out the gate?
I guess part of the problem that, you know, I guess people are having with Anthony is he himself seems to dealing with the fact that he has to accept a new role, and he's not going to be that guy anymore. He's not going to be the number one. Do you think maybe it would be easier if he went to, like, the Lakers with LeBron, where LeBron can kind of explain that?
Possibly. I mean, it seemed to work out with J.R. Smith, right?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, the other question is, maybe LeBron would be a little leery because it didn't work with Dwayne Wade last year in Cleveland. You know, they ended up sending Wade back to Miami because that was just a mess.
Yeah, but that whole Cleveland experiment didn't work for anybody.
Well, it worked for LeBron. He got all his buddies' jobs, and then he bailed, and now they have the worst record in the NBA.
Oh. No, I thought you meant the oh, maybe that was the beginning of this season? No, last year.
Yeah, last year.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm thinking this year when they had Dwayne Wade and then they had Steve Rose. And, you know, I'm surprised they didn't have the Birdman bring him out of retirement.
Well, they probably tried. But, yeah, just kind of, I mean, it'll kind of be interesting. I mean, I don't know. You know, maybe with the exception of the Lakers, would another contender even look at Carmelo at this point? I mean, I don't think there's one that has a glowing need. I mean, I know there was some talk that he might possibly try to go to Golden State, but I don't know, how that would even work.
I mean, would they even need him?
Well, yeah, see, that would be the thing, is would he accept that role of, you know, like DeMarcus Cousins went there, so far he's accepted the role of coming off the bench. You know, that was part of Anthony's problem, was he didn't want to be a sixth man. But, you know, obviously, you know, if you go to a team like the Warriors, he's not a starter. You know, you can't sit one of those guys to start Anthony. So, you know, he ends up probably being the seventh or eighth guy on the team. And I just wonder, can his ego handle that at this point? I mean, that seems to be his biggest problem, right, is his ego?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's what I was going to say was, I don't think he goes there and is able to even be a sixth man. You know, even on that team with the way they play, does he become the 10th man?
Yeah. You know, and obviously, I mean, you got to figure somebody's going to take a look at him because it's not going to cost him. It's going to cost him a league minimum. So I would think somebody would take a look. He's not quite sure. You know, but like I said, besides the Lakers and only because of his friendship with LeBron, other than that, I really don't know any other team that might say, hey, come on in. You know, unless the Knicks bring him back maybe with a farewell tour?
Well, I mean, if you're going to do a farewell tour, you might as well bring them back to Denver.
Yeah, they're playing really well, and they probably couldn't use them. You know, I mean, the Knicks could actually find them minutes. I mean, they're 10-35. They're going nowhere still. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, that along with, you know, the Sixers or even the Celtics.
Yeah, you know, but again, we're talking about a couple of good teams where he'd have to sit, and, you know, who knows if he would have kept that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he has a choice at this point.
No, but, you know, that's been part of his problem. You know, it's, I don't think he realizes that his skills are diminished.
Because, I mean, you know, even like you said, the Knicks have that capacity to actually get him playing time. But, you know, but that's the other thing. Being a sixth man somewhere else, what do you bring him off the bench for?
I guess we'll have to follow it and see if, you know, I don't know, maybe there's an overseas team. You know, maybe he goes plays in China like Stephon Marbury and finishes up his career there.
And gets a Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, you know, working out for Marbury, he's a legend over there. You know, he had his issues in the NBA, but, man, he worked it out there, and he was a superstar. But there's only four games tonight in the NBA. I didn't realize the schedule was so small. You got the Kings at the Raptors, which is actually currently underway. I don't know if there's a – yeah, it looks like it's 18-18 in the first quarter. Trailblazers at the Thunder is actually the end of the NBA game tonight. The Clippers are at the Mavericks. The Timberwolves are at the Suns. Yeah, real light NBA night if you're watching that, and our free league is over, so I won't be watching any of it. But that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, I actually there was pretty much nothing on when we got home last night. You know, with the NHL being on their break, I tuned in for the one. You know, the last night I caught a Celtics game, and you know, you and I always talk about the. I did find they have one HD channel on Comcast.
Oh,
so go figure, for the free preview. So I don't know how that works if you actually buy it, but you know, that would definitely be one of those things I would not buy through Comcast. I would just buy it through the app. But I'm in. I don't even want to say I'm in no position to buy it. I just have no interest in getting a league pass. But you know, I'm also not a super NBA guy. Anyways, I digress. The point of what I was bringing up was, I thought it was pretty cool that, you know, obviously there's no sponsorship or, you know, commercial deals with Boston. So instead of, you know, during the TV breaks, instead of commercials or anything, we got nothing but stadium, you know, the stadium camera. So I thought that was pretty cool. You know, they do all the stupid little play this song and they scan the crowd and you see kids and families dancing. So I got a kick out of that. That was my exciting part of the free preview. Take it away, Big Dad.
Well, you know, I watch bits and pieces of different games, you know, just to kind of check it out. And, the tough part, of course, is, you know, I'm not a big NBA guy, so it's hard for me to get into these games. But, you know, I lose interest real quickly when it's just guys shooting three-pointers. And that's kind of every game devolves into is, you know, guys just shooting three-pointers. So I'm kind of like, okay, well, let's move on to the next game and see if I can find something else. It's fun to have and kind of, you know, bounce around and see some of these teams that, you know, I'm just never going to get to see. But, yeah, to buy it, you know, it's just not worth it for me. So
No, and I think you know, it's what it's good for is because they do have a nice plan. I forgot the prices. You'd have to go to the League Pass and check that out for yourself. But I know you could do the follow your team, you know, if you're out of market. Obviously, if we were that big of Bulls fans and we, you know, moved to Milwaukee, that might be something to look into. I don't think it's that expensive. But I think, you know, and it really dawned on me, what I think really kills the NBA from grabbing, you know, actual season purchasers is their TV deals. You get all the best games every day, almost every day of the week throughout the season. So I really don't see the need, you know, TNT, ESPN. And, you know, that was one of the things that killed me on when all these Facebook groups, when people were talking about the Cubs getting their own network, which they haven't just talked about, trying to be quick, was the fact that one guy out of market said, "Oh, I pay $89.99 to get the Cubs, you know, just the Cubs," or whatever his deal was. And I just went, I pay like $30 more, $20 more, and I get the entire league.
Yeah,
I don't understand why you'd pay $80-$90 for one team. You might as well just spend the extra $30 and get the entire league. I don't know.
Yeah, you figure
you know what I
mean? You might as well. So,
you know, but with that, I did learn that the MLB extra innings does cost more if you do it through your Comcast provider than it does if you just straight stream it through the app.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that because Comcast is getting its share, or?
I would think so. I think it's like $20 or $30 more.
Huh. So that stinks.
But
so
I've never actually watched that. Yeah, I don't. But the other part of it is I think you pay extra because then when you log into the app, log into the app on your tablet, your smart TV, whatever, you can stream the local games also, which
I really can't
do unless they're on NBC Sports Chicago.
Huh.
Yeah, because I tried doing it during the day where, you know, ABC or the great WGN streams it, and we don't get those streams. We get whatever the local broadcasting is supposed to be. But, you know, daytime television, not even daytime, it's that stupid news talk crap where they have, you know, check out this cook. But it's, you know, it's that lame stuff that news shows try to get you to watch.
Oh, yeah. That I end up watching? Oh, well.
Yeah, no,
Actually, I can't.
To
watch.
Yeah, you know. Oh, you check out our news show. It's been going on from 5 a.m. till 12 noon.
I need football to start. I'm running out of things to watch. All right. Well, the news is making and I to go. We'll come back tomorrow. Don't forget, we have the Twitter feed as well, which is @SportsMindRadio. You can get my green line for you if you'd like to look stuff up at school. But that was a good thing. Put on a little more knowledge. It's awesome when you do that. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to listen to it. It's SportsMindRadio.com.
SportsMindRadio.